Blessed are you, holy and living one. God be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the book of the scribe Baruch. Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory of God. Put on the robe of the righteousness that comes from God. Put on your head the diadem of the glory of the everlasting, for God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven. For God will give you evermore the name Righteous Peace, Godly Glory. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height, look toward the east and see your children gathered from west and east at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. For they went out from you on foot, led away by their enemies, but God will bring them back to you carried in glory as on a royal throne. For God has ordered that every high mountain and the everlasting hills be made low, and the valleys filled up to make level ground, so that Israel may walk safely in the glory of God. The woods and every fragrant tree have shaded Israel at God's command. For God will lead Israel with joy, in the light of his glory, with the mercy and righteousness that come from him. The word of the Lord.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to set his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Though his holy prophets he promised of old, that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break on us. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break on us. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from
A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Eritrea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was ruler of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the regions around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the very silly movie Moonstruck, there's a moment when the character played by Cher, her mother mentions someone being healed and says it's a miracle, and And her daughter responds, "A miracle? This is modern times. There aren't supposed to be no miracles." And I think that a lot of people feel that way, that the miracles of Scripture are not things that happen today. But if we look beyond the flash and into the depths of the text, what we find is that the text is describing very important human spiritual dynamics that do indeed happen today. And we get a flavor of that in the gospel reading that we just heard, because we start with that list of all the people who are in charge or who are rulers of the day. And this is a favorite device of the author of Luke's gospel, to create the sense of God at work in our day, in the day of the gospel writer's readers. So people know as they're reading the text who those people were and remember when they were in charge, or perhaps they still were. So there's a way in which the text itself is trying to connect the modern day with what God is doing. And that lesson still holds true for us today. How do we look for what God is doing in our day? Now, the other dynamic that is going on, of course, is that we have this character John, this wilderness guy John, and part of what's being said to us is that these rulers are part of the reason why things feel like a wilderness. But here's where you have to be tricky and careful. Wilderness in Scripture is a complicated symbol. It has more meanings than just the negative one. And often, wilderness in Scripture has the challenging, sometimes negative meaning right alongside the positive meaning. Wilderness in Scripture is, yes, a challenge, right? All you have to do is read the book of Numbers and realize how hard it was for the Israelites to be in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus goes into the wilderness after his baptism, and he's tempted. Wilderness is a challenge. But wilderness is also positive. During those 40 years in the wilderness, Israel got to practice and learn and be formed and to being God's people. And Jesus is not only in the wilderness being tempted about the core issues of his ministry, but the text also says he was with the wild beasts and the angels ministered to him. It's an Eden image. So wilderness is not always negative. And in fact, I believe that today's gospel reading invites us to identify the wilderness in our lives, the positive aspect of wilderness. Because what wilderness does is it clears away distractions. We get to the heart of the matter and wrestle with it. And when we do that, it is often the case that we come out of the wilderness adorned and bedecked, like Israel coming out of exile in the reading from Baruch that we heard today. Wilderness gets us to look at the real issue. It gets us to the heart of the matter. And that's a challenge, and it's hard, but it's good. It's important to recognize that wilderness and not desert is the image, right? Not an empty desert of sand, but a wilderness. Wildernesses have their own unique creatures and plants and other things. They're not barren. Wilderness in our lives, in our spiritual lives, is not a barren place. Wilderness has its own unique creatures. Maybe the place where you think and experience or enter into wilderness in your life is a chair that you sit in and you just collapse into and you say, okay, God, we got to talk about this. Right? Or it's a prayer corner in your house. Or maybe it's when you get in bed and then you start, as you're waiting to go to sleep, to talk to God. Maybe wilderness is the dreams that you have that tell you something about what's going on in your life. And those wilderness spaces are not empty. They have their own unique creatures. It's not your workaday world. You're not in the wilderness if you're thinking about what you need to buy at the grocery store. You're in the wilderness when you're focused on real, profound issues. And of course, wilderness is never bereft of God, because nowhere is. That's part of what we mean about the oneness of God. If God is one, God is everywhere. Those two go hand in hand. And certainly that's the promise in the book of Exodus, isn't it? That at the end of the book of Exodus, God fills the tent of meeting and goes with the Israelites as they wander in the wilderness. You don't go into the wilderness alone. God is there with you in the wilderness. The wilderness is not a barren place. The other thing is that John comes from the wilderness. John, the text tells us, Luke in chapter 1 tells us that John comes from the wilderness. It's not just that he goes to the wilderness later in life. It's almost like he grew up there. He comes from the wilderness. And, you know, he's got the camel's hair and the camel's hair coat and the wild hair and the locusts and the honey and all that stuff. He's a wilderness guy. He's a wild man. And he points to Jesus. He points to Jesus. And part of the reason why we look at this wild man is not just his historical character of pointing to Jesus in Advent, that makes sense, getting ready for Christmas, but also because sometimes we get our best direction in the wilderness. When we clear away the distractions and we think about the real significant things in our life, wrestle with them. Sometimes that heads us in the right direction, like John pointing to Jesus. So that knowing our wilderness space helps us find the way to go, find the right direction, heads us in the way that is most fruitful. So the challenge in the gospel that we heard today is to think about, what is your wilderness space? What does it look like when you enter the wilderness? Do you go to a specific place, or do you do a specific practice, maybe say a certain prayer? What's your wilderness space? The space in your mind, or maybe in your house, in your life, where you wrestle with real things. The space where you don't think about the laundry list or the grocery list, but you think about who you really are and how much God loves you. Where you find the courage to look at challenging things. John's there in the wilderness. God's there in the wilderness. The wilderness points us as Christians to Jesus. There's a lot to be said for the wilderness. Where is your wilderness.
As you are able, please stand and join with me as we proclaim our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit, and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God of the waiting, give us courage to wait with those in the most broken places of the world.
Gracious God, most of us experience life as a feast of opportunities. We give you thanks for these many blessings, and we pray for those whose lives are far from the abundance you intend. We pray particularly for all who are sick and all who are addicted, remembering especially Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Hope, Charlotte, Carolyn, Caitlin, Pete, Nancy, John, Carol, Todd, Ben, Arlene, Mary, Kobe, Richard, Peg, Jan, Linda, Danica, Sarah, Tom, Victor, Rusty, Mike, and all who are affected by natural disaster.
Empower us and all people who struggle to be bearers of hope.
Long-awaited Savior, fill our hearts with courage and peace.
We pray for those who wait for wars to stop and for violence to cease.
We pray for all who work for justice and peace. We pray for the nations and all in authority, including Donald, our president, and the legislative and judicial branches of our government. We also pray for those who served in our armed forces, especially Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, and Stephen.
God of the waiting, transform our conflicts into your peaceful reign.
Long-awaited Savior, fill our hearts with courage and peace.
We pray for those who in their grief struggle to feel the coming hope, particularly those who grieve their jobs, their joy, or those whom they love.
We pray for those who have died, Dan, Tomio, Quay, and Ken.
Arlene. God of the waiting, comfort us with your power and grace.
Who waited, Savior, fill our hearts with courage and peace. We lift before you the Anglican Communion, the Episcopal Church, our Diocese, St. Luke's, and faithful people everywhere.
We pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, Michael and Frankie in formation for holy orders, and all people in their vocations and ministries. We also remember before you Mary, the God-bearer, Luke and John, our patrons, Thomas, Francis, Lucy, Samuel, Juan, Elizabeth, Nino, whom we commemorate this week.
God of the waiting, by your unmeasured mercy, grant that we may serve you with undivided hearts, live together in unbroken community, and greet you with unending praise.
Long-awaited Savior, fill our hearts with courage and peace. We give you thanks for your many blessings, which fill our waiting with joy, and give us a foretaste of our fulfillment.
We pray for those celebrating birthdays, Dennis, Tom, Becky, Greg, Jonathan, Arlene, Janice, Susanna, Jennifer, Carrie, Katie, and for those celebrating wedding anniversaries, Barb and Fred, Amy and Ken. We give them thanks for the baptismal anniversaries of Patty and Pam.
God of the waiting, help us find the wonder of expectation.
Amen.
God of generations, your promises come to birth in surprising ways. Fill our hearts with courage and hope, and fill our dreams with visions of new life, so that we live according to your word and love with the fullness of your grace. In the holy name of Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. God of all mercy, we confess
that we have sinned against you and told you your will in our hearts. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world we have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your Spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death, and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and be glorified by you. And the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth, and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with John the Baptist, Mary the God-bearer, and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation, to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Please be seated.
Be sure to share that with you.
As you are able, please stand.
May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you and scatter the obstacles from before your path. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.